Ben frowned and asked, "Didn't I explain this to you earlier?" Despite the cynical edge, Ben's question was sincere. He had been under a lot of stress lately, trying everything he could think of to bring his father back to his body, and it just seemed possible that he had forgotten to execute this critical part of his plan. Instead of replying, Rondi started to cry. Ben decided he needed to phrase his question a little more gently. He reached out with the force and turned her head toward him.
"Did I explain this to you?" he asked.
Rondi nodded and began to cry harder. Her tears made him feel a little hollow and guilty about what he was doing to her and to her brother. But she was one of the people trying to kill him.
"And do you remember what I said?" Ben demanded.
There was no sense risking any miscommunication.
"Tell me."
"You said that if you die beyond shadows, Roland dies in that cabin,"
Rondi croaked.
"That's right," Ben said,
and he realized that he had finally made his decision. Rondi was trying to trick him, to remove the threat to her brother so that she would be free to kill Ben.
"And am I going to die while we're beyond shadows?"
Rondi shook her head.
"Not if I can help it."
"Good,"
Ben said. He climbed onto a hover gurney adjacent to his father's and quickly strapped his legs in place.
"Then we have nothing to worry about."
Ben set the drip on his IV bags, then lay down on the gurney and used the force to secure the straps over his chest.
"Roland has enough food and water to last a month,"
Ben said, reassuring himself as much as Rondi.
"He'll be fine."
Rondi appeared less than convinced, but she merely looked away and did not bother to argue.
"Are you ready?"
Ben nodded.
"More than," he said. "What do I do?"
"Just turn toward the light,"
Rondi told him.
"Listen to my voice and breathe. We'll go together."
Ben turned toward the purple light.
"There is no life,"
Rondi began. More than familiar with the techniques of force meditation, Ben inhaled as she spoke. Then, during the silent pause that followed, exhaled into the purple light writhing beyond the viewport.
"There is only the force."
Ben exhaled again and felt himself drifting toward the light.
"Picture the number one in your mind,"
Rondi said.
"That is the first level of ascension. There is no life."
Again, Ben exhaled into the light.
"There is only the force."
Ben exhaled again.
"Now, you see the number two,"
Rondi said.
"There is no time."
Ben exhaled once more. A few minutes later, or it might have been a few hours, they reached the number seven, and Ben felt himself slip free. He had 1,000 questions about what was happening to him, about how long they had been gone and what would become of his abandoned body. But when Rondi appeared next to him, looking more refreshed and beautiful than she ever had before, he had only one question on his mind.
"How do we find my father?"
Rondi extended her hand.
"Take my hand. Think of your father and walk with me into the light."
Ben did as she instructed, and together they walked into the crackling purple radiance beyond the viewport. At once, he was filled with an eternal, boundless bliss beyond anything he had ever experienced. He became one with the Force, melted into it, and was filled with a calm joy as vast as the galaxy itself. How long he and Rondi hung there together, Ben would never know. It was less than an eye blink, as long as eternity. Then a voice said,
"Come."
And suddenly, Ben was looking out on a narrow mountain lake with a surface as still as black glass. From one shore rose a face of sheer granite, sloping up toward a domed summit lit in the lazuline light of a blue sun. Along the other shore lay a boulder-strewn meadow filled with hummocks of knee-high moss and rivulets of purling water. Directly ahead, his father stood next to Ryantar and the Given, looking toward a half-hidden female form floating in the silver mists that concealed the far end of the lake. Ben released Rondi's hand and started forward, no longer consumed by the same sense of urgency that had been troubling him back on the station. True, his father had grown perilously weak over the last couple of weeks, and true, his own life was also in peril, since the Mindwalkers were trying to kill him, but Ben had left such mundane concerns behind with his body. He had swum in the incomprehensible infinity of the universe, drunk of the pure joy of eternal existence, and now he understood. Life and death were the same, because moments did not vanish, could not be consumed like air or water or nutripaste. They existed at once and forever, spread across the entire continuity of being, the same way atoms were scattered across the vastness of the universe. Just as atoms gathered together in clumps of energy, which living beings perceived as matter, moments gathered in packets of minutes and hours, which mortal creatures perceived as time passing. But those packets were no more the essence of time than sunlight was the essence of a star, or heat the essence of fire. They were simply the perceptions through which the minds of finite beings experienced infinity, the sensations through which their bodies detected the existence of themselves and everything around them.